in Jersey and in New York and in Maryland and all them places what I ain't never been. I believe I could call on them folks. I got some friends in the north. Amen. So if we ever go back to war, maybe they won't shoot me. Amen. Won't that be good? But before we preach this morning, I want to take just a second and thank Brother Danny and these other great men of God. Brother Chapel, I don't know where he's at this morning. Brother McGahee. Men that have just been an inspiration to a young preacher. We come from all over the country. We come from New York. We come from Georgia. We come from Alabama, from Texas. Back in youth camp, we had a kid here from Africa, and there's one from another country somewhere I can't remember, but people from everywhere come to this place. They come to this place to find inspiration and hope. I'll never forget the first time I came. I met Brother Danny Castle, and he's just a redneck hillbilly. I don't care how dignified he claims to be. He's just a redneck saved by grace, y'all. That's all he is, and that's all he'll ever be, just a redneck saved by grace. And here God had just called me to preach, and I came in, and you know, coming from the woods where I come from, man, this is magnificent. I mean, this was the grandest thing I had ever seen in my life, to stand in a church such as this. And I thought, oh God, what a privilege it is for you to use a man like you've used that man. And God began to show me something. God said, hey, he's just a little old hillbilly boy like you was. He is raised in a small town just like you are. And I called him to preach just like I called you to preach. And I can use you just like I used him. And I'm here to tell you something this morning, kids. God can use you. God can use him. I don't care if you speak with a northern accent or if you talk hillbilly. I don't care what you talk. God can use you. Amen. I just thank God for these men who have been an inspiration to me and an encouragement along the way just to keep on preaching. Amen. Let me read one verse of Scripture, and I'm going to be very brief this morning. Very brief from an independent fundamental Baptist preacher means not under an hour and a half. In the book of John, chapter 7, and I want to read verse 37 and 38. The Bible says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Reminds me of what my granddaddy used to say. We had an old bathtub, you know, with a stopper in the bottom of that thing and fill that thing up from the cows. And the cows would come, Papa would say, there it is, y'all drink. Amen. I want to present the gospel this morning and just tell you, there it is, y'all drink. Thank God. Said, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38, he said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I want you to underline your Bible, that rivers of living water. And I want to talk to you just for a few minutes this morning about the rivers. Had the title of message this morning, I think we'd just call it Shoot the Rapids. Amen? Shoot the Rapids. I want us to look at these rivers, and I begin to study the river system on our great planet Earth, and I begin to learn some things about these rivers. And I hope through maybe sharing some things with you this morning, make a spiritual application, maybe it'll be a blessing to you. So you just sit up straight and pay attention to the Word of God, and turn around and look up here. It's ain't nap time. It's time to worship God. Amen? And let the Bible speak to your heart. Now, rivers are a vital part of the earth's water cycle. What they do is they collect water that falls as rain and as snow, and they drain it down to the ocean. Then the sun evaporates that water from the sea, and the winds carry it back over the land to fall once again as rain and snow. It starts as just a little trickle, then a brook, then a branch, then a creek, and bless God, eventually into a river. What a God we serve. I mean, man, if you can just think about that, how God figured that thing out. Ain't that something? Amen. What a God we serve. But these rivers, they're a vital part of the earth's water cycle. They're a vital part of where we got this pitcher of water right here. I mean, but without these rivers of water, we can't live. In the Bible days, in the Old Testament times, I love to study and read about the wells in the Old Testament and how they built cities and they built towns around these wells, because their lives depended on this water for life. If they built in a desert place, while they'd dry up and they'd thirst to
death, and the sun had just parched them out there in the sun. But they built their lives around the source of life. They built their lives around the source of water. Now, here in this passage of Scripture, these rivers of living water is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is vital to the Christian life. We need to build our lives around a Spirit-filled church. I believe in the church, amen? I believe we ought to build our lives around a Spirit-filled church. We ought to realize the importance of these rivers of living water. Here about several years ago, I took a gang of young folks. We went up to Tennessee, and we went whitewater rafting. And this guy, we had they called him a guide. He looked like a punk to me, but anyway, had him on one of them frogman suits and had some boat paddles and life jackets, and they blowed this raft up, and he said, I got to give y'all some instructions. He said, up here in this easy part of the river where it's just moving real slow and easy, we can just kick back and enjoy ourselves and we can have a good time. He said, but about a mile and a half downstream, he said, we're going to hit some rapids. We're going to hit some whitewater. He said, then we're going to have to go to work. He said, but if you'll pay attention and you'll learn what I'm going to tell you, we'll have a great time. We'll have a blast if y'all will do what I'm telling you to do. And sure enough, buddy, it was less laid back, you know, there for about a mile and a half. And one of them girls squealed. You know how, I don't know how they do it. Whee! Here they went. It sounded like a little pig. I said, what's the matter? They said, look at all them waterfalls up there. And it was just white caps. And we got down there, brother, and the relaxation period was over. We went to work. And, man, we had a time. We'd paddle on this side. And he'd holler, stroke. And we'd stroke over here. And somebody would fall out. Man, you can't stop. We'd just keep a trucking. And, buddy, that thing was fun. But when it was over, we was wore out. But what I want to tell you is the more rapids you've got, the more flowing of these rivers, the more works involved, the more rooted and grounded you need to become in the Word of God, amen, that you might grow and go for Christ Jesus, amen. Now I begin to study about these rivers. I'll give you four things, amen, and then I'll shut up and let somebody else up here. I want to talk about what makes these rivers work. Talk about what makes these rivers work. Jesus said we'd have in us, flowing out of our belly, a river of living water. Now, I want to give you the four major things it takes for a river to work. And these four major things also apply spiritually to our Christian lives. They're the same things that make these rivers of living waters work in our life. First of all, for a river to be a river at all, before it can ever become a river, it's got to have some inflow. It's got to have some inflow. The mighty Mississippi River. There's been stories wrote about it. There's been movies filmed about it. There's been poems written about it. And boy, the mighty Mississippi River. But you know, the mighty Mississippi didn't get mighty all by itself. The mighty Mississippi didn't get mighty all by itself. How did it get that way? Why? The Ohio River, the Arkansas River and the Missouri River, all of them flow in to the Mississippi River. That river's got some input. It's got some great input from some other great rivers, but then it's got some little insignificant inputs that nobody knows about. It's got some little old creeks, that tributary creeks that flow into it here and there. And the whole time, the more input that river gets, the wider it gets. Good granny's alive. What are you trying to do to me? The more, what did I do? You don't like me, do you? He didn't even want to cut me on this morning. Fire him. The more water that flows into that river, the wider it gets, and the more momentum it gets. What makes New Manna Baptist Church so great? It's the inflow. It's the inflow. And the more inflow, the more momentum, and the greater job it gets done for Jesus. Now, what is inflow? First of all, let me tell you, the inflow is prayer. The inflow is prayer. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. I like Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. We need that inflow of prayer in our lives. I dare say that half of you sitting on the benches this morning, before you came to camp meeting, the week at home at your church before you came, I would just about wager that you didn't spend more than 5 minutes a day talking with God. 5 minutes a day talking with God. Yet, but some of you ladies spend 3 or 4 hours watching the souls. You teenage girls will spend an hour and a half talking to your boyfriend on the telephone. Listen to him tell you the same thing over and over. I love you more than life itself. He's a liar. How much time have you spent talking with God? How much time have you spent getting input from the Father? How much time have you spent receiving the inflow from heaven? Man, I like it. I like it. When I get out in my study, I'm out there all by myself. I feel like I'm all alone. I can't get a prayer through. I ain't got a message to preach. And Brother McGee here, all of a sudden heaven just opens up and God just floods my soul. I'm talking about just a heavenly gully washer and that river begins to flow. What? Boy, almost make you shout. Boy, just to get a little bit of inflow. You gotta have some inflow, or else you ain't flowing. If there's no inflow, there's no moving.
And we'll get to water that ain't moving in just a second. But you've got to have the inflow of prayer. You've got to have the inflow of prayer. You've got to have the inflow of Bible study. The Bible says to hide the word in our heart, we might not sin against God. How can you hide it if you don't read it? Hello? How can you hide it if you don't read it? Did you know the average Catholic knows more Bible than you'll ever know? Hello? You know why people don't like it when Jehovah's Witness come to their house? Because they intimidate them and they scare them. You don't know what to say to them because you ain't got enough Bible in you to stand up for your belief and to stand up for your Savior and to tell them what the Word of God says, because you have no idea what the Word of God says. I mean, it doesn't even enter your mind what the Word of God says, because you have no inflow. You say, well, I read the Bible and I just don't get anything. Just keep reading. Bless God, you girls are standing at Walmart for an hour and a half and not buy nothing.
I'm going to preach the Bible where you like it or not. That's the truth, ain't it? I mean, just go looking. Honey, are you going to get anything? I'm just looking.
Well, just keep looking at the Bible. Bless God, for long, you're going to get something. We need the inflow of prayer. We need the inflow of Bible study. And you need the inflow of fellowship. Man, it does me good to hug that old boy's neck down there and tell him I love him. You know why? Because he always tells me back. Man, I need the fellowship of my brethren and my sisters in Christ.
You see, you need the church more than you think you do. I'd hate to know I belong to an invisible church. Hey, brother, how you doing? It's so good to see you. Would you pray for me? Yeah, I'll pray for you. I've been having a hard time. The devil. Oh, brother, let's just pray together.
Thank God I'm in a church where I can touch somebody, I can feel somebody, I can share my burden with somebody. Thank God for the church. I need the inflow. I need the inflow. I need that water coming in.
You know why I need that water coming in? Because I've got to have water going out. Not only is there an inflow, but there's an outflow. If there's an inflow and there's no outflow, you've got a stagnated pond. Amen? Anybody ever went fishing in a stagnated pond? You smell the water when you got there? I've been to a lot of churches I could smell when I got there. Amen? Been a lot of churches I could smell when I got there. The Dead Sea has no life in it. None. Nada. Know why? Because it's got stuff coming in but nothing going out. It comes in and it just sits there and it rots. It just sits there. Does that sound like any church members you know of?
Somebody told me yesterday, just yesterday, said, Brother Eddie, I don't understand it. We've got great preaching. We've got great singing. We've got great fellowship. But we ain't seeing a church grow. It's a good inkling that maybe that's all inflow and no outflow. And therefore you just dried up and you're dead. You can have the greatest preacher in the world. You can book Dr. Jack Hiles one night, Dr. Danny Castle the next night, Dr. Larry Brown the next night, Dr. Jim McGee the next night. I mean, buddy, you can just get a who's who list of preachers at your church. And you can get all the inflow you want. But until you get something going out, brother, you're dead.
That's right.
Brother, you're dead. You come to church. You come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Think you're doing your duty as a Christian. You pansy. You got your little spot on the pew. Well, I'm doing what I can for God. You're a liar. You're a liar. You do more for the T-ball team. Hello? You do more for the band booster club at the high school than you do for God. No outflow. That's the only reason it comes in. So we can get it out. Church. Church is not what you do for God. You hear what I'm telling you? Church is what God does for you.
That's right.
This is like a filling station. I come in here to get my oil checked. Amen. Whoop, get filled up with some of that high test gasoline. Fill her up with ethyl, brother. I got to go. Gives me what I need out yonder. Gives me what I need to go out there and tell somebody else about Jesus. If there's an inflow, there's got to be an outflow. Or else, brother, you got a dead church on your hands.
Amen.
Oh, we're a soul-winning church. How many of you won? We believe in getting the gospel out. How many gospel tracts you handed out? How many radios you got your preacher on? Huh? There's got to be some outflow. Got to be some outflow. If ain't no outflow, we ain't nothing but a social club. Huh? We ain't no better than the Masons having a little secret meeting, amen? Don't get quiet on me. I said we ain't no better than the Masons. If you come to the house of God, you keep it all to yourself and won't share it with nobody else. That's what they do. People on your job, people at school, begging you to tell them what goes on here. It's like amazing. This is a big secret. There's got to be some inflow. There's got to be some outflow. What is the outflow? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 gives us nine of the graces of God that are called the fruits of the Spirit. He said that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Verse 23 says, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Christian character is not only moral correctness, but it's the possession and the manifestation of these graces. You see, inwardly is love and joy and peace. Outward toward man, our neighbors, these folks out here in the community, it's long-suffering, goodness, and gentleness. And outward toward God is faith, meekness, temperance. We got to have some outflow, folks. We got to have some outflow or else we stagnate and we die. Our river systems have an inflow. They have an outflow. But I read about this right here and it blew my mind. Every river in the United States of America, every river in the world, not only has an outflow and an inflow, but it's got an underflow. Amen? Every river has an underflow. It's got a current within it you can't see with your naked eye. There's something going on beneath the surface. Amen. You ever seen that? Just old legs. You ever? We crossed that river on the bridge going up to the camp. Looks like the water's just a still that ain't moving. Oh, but underneath that calm surface, that's calm surface, there's a little gentle motion of that water carrying life somewhere. That's the way it is with a Christian life. When there's an inflow, when there's an outflow, thank God there's an underflow.
Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 said, in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, should keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, thank God there's an underflow. Sometimes it may look rough. Sometimes it may look dark and it may look dreary. Oh, but inside me, there's something going on in here that you can't see. My church may rise up against me. I may have to butt heads with an old deacon, Sam. Oh, but inside here, hey, it's an underflow, Brother Mark. I was just running peace through my soul.
Amen.
You ever felt like you was all by yourself? I used to work for the Douglas County Board of Education. I was a maintenance man. I was a plumber. I was a doctor. I was a drain surgeon. The Yankees didn't get it, did they? They called me one afternoon and they said, preacher, we need you to go over to Douglas County High School. They're having a concert over there this evening. Them kids always get wild in the concert. And we need you to go over there and make sure if things are working all right. And stay around until it's over. I said, okay. I went over there and those 2,000 kids began to file into that gymnasium. Everything was pretty quiet and pretty peaceful. They slung the curtains back on the stage. And there stood a bunch of long-haired faggots with earrings in their ears. Y'all don't like that word, huh? There stood a bunch of long-haired faggots with earrings in their ears and had to bend over like this to play their guitar, had it right down around their knees, and they began to shake their heads. And man, I get an Excedrin headache that big. And they began to scream, yeah! And them kids went crazy. Tell me Satan hadn't got a power and a hold in rock and roll music. I saw those kids transform from a peaceful bunch of kids out of a bunch of imbeciles, wild, and literally shaking on their whole bodies were just shaking. They went crazy. All of a sudden, there I stood. All alone. Be honest with you, bud, I got scared. There I was amongst 2,000 chanting. God only knows what Benny Hinn would have probably understood him. I couldn't. I felt all alone. I thought, oh God, you brought me into this God-forsaken place and left me. All of a sudden, I felt the underflow.